Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Dave Allen, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Monday, August 3rd, 2020. Good afternoon, Dave.
Happy August, Melody.
It certainly is, and it's like once we hit July 4th, the rest of the summer seems like it's over already. Time is flying, and it's going to be a very active month, I do believe. So with that in mind, let's go ahead and get to the gold and silver prices. We have gold today. We had a nice recovery. It was down quite a bit. Right now, we're up $1.80 at $19.78. Silver was down 6 pennies today at $24.51. And we had a nice recovery because we had hit, we went all the way to 2403. And it came back nicely to be only down 6. Platinum was up $16 at $926. Palladium was up 9 at $2,152. The USDX was stronger today, 0.07 at 93.53. Crude oil was up 0.56 at 40.83. And the paper markets, please. Let's get there. And they're still on their drug-induced high. The Dow was up 236 points at 26,664. The NASDAQ was up 157 points, 10,902. The S&P was up 23 points at 3,294. 10-year yield is 0.56%. Euro is 118. Of course, that went down with the dollar stronger today. And European Asian markets came back pretty strong, all over 2%, some close to 3, like Germany. And Hong Kong was lower, though, only by a little over 0.5%. So nothing big, major going on there. And you know what? It just doesn't seem to matter, Dave. And, you know, why wouldn't the market go up? There's no connection to the stock market and to the economy. I mean, that's zilch. We've been telling you that for I don't know how many years. And it used to be, but not anymore. But when you have the Fed announcing it's going to be providing billions, $125 billion and more a month to the markets till the end of 2021, early 2022, why wouldn't you be up? Why? I mean, it's a given, and you all know that the markets took a dive or a nosedive. You know the Fed and governments would pump in even more money. That's why these numbers are going up, not on any fundamental whatsoever. That should scare you the heck. I mean, when you have the U.S., and we're going to get on to what Dave wants to talk about, the U.S. is going to borrow an estimated $2 trillion just in the second half of 2020. And it's all due to the virus and everything that's happened. Of course, we went into recession in February, much before anything was shut down. The department, the Treasury Department estimated the government would borrow $947 billion from July through September. This is a record for the quarter, bringing the borrowing for fiscal year 2020 to $4.5 trillion. That total is more than triple last year's $1.28 trillion. And, of course, it just dwarfs the borrowing that was done during and after the 2008 financial crisis. But everything is fine. We're going to have a V-shaped recovery. Hold those stocks. Hold them. Even if the markets crash, they'll come back. But that's what they tell you. The Treasury also said it expected to maintain a cash balance around $800 billion through the end of the year to ensure it has enough cash to cover increased government outflows. Well, you know what? You don't have stores that have enough coins to give you change. Yet the government's going to have enough cash, if you believe that one. So again, it's just, we live in bizarro land for sure. And when I see these numbers and think about what's happening, and we're going to talk about the you know, the unemployment. We'll be getting those numbers out on Friday. They're not going to be good. I can't imagine. Or if they are good, there's going to be a little note at the bottom that's saying, these probably aren't real. These probably aren't the true numbers. There might have been a miscalculation in giving you these numbers. Can't imagine how they would be better. We tell you every single, and we're not negative people. I mean, there are some good things out there we'll talk about later in the third program, on the third segment of the program. But it just always just continues to amaze me that nobody really seems to care. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know. There's no panic whatsoever. I've had big buyers come into the market. You have bigger buyers coming into the market. They know what they're doing. And you have more CEOs. They're calling for more money for small businesses. And my thought was, Dave, well, you know, why are these 100 CEOs of these big corporations concerned about small businesses? Well, you got to keep those small businesses in going so they can keep going. You know, so I think it's more about their bottom line than the small business. But you had 100 group of chief executives from some of the country's most prominent companies, and they sent a message to D.C. By Labor Day, we foresee a wave of permanent closures if the right steps are not taken soon. That's what the letter warned. Now, this was organized by Howard Schultz. I'm not a fan, but it was signed by more than 100 CEOs. And I'm not, you know, include the heads of Salesforce, Alphabet, Walmart, McDonald's, Disney, IBM, Business Roundtable, and the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. So, I mean, it's just, you know, they want this big, sizable small business aid package that calls for, because if these small businesses go, so do those big ones. That's what it's all about. And they took their money during the first bailouts. So it calls for federally guaranteed loans at favorable terms that will enable small businesses to transform and sustain themselves through 2020 and well into 2021. Businesses should have flexibility in how loan funds are used. The hardest hit businesses should be eligible for at least partial loan forgiveness. I've seen a commercial for restaurants. The restaurants are begging for money. And I can't remember which movie star, actor. He has a deep voice. He's a black man. I can't remember which one it was.
Dennis Hayes started the... Morgan Freeman?
I think it's Morgan Freeman. And they're doing a commercial to get bailout money for the restaurants. So I think we need to do our own to have a... Not that we need it. I don't need it. But, hey, let's do it for gold and silver dealers. Why not?
Especially if they're looking for forgiveness.
You know?
And the CEOs say any forgiveness should be limited to small and mid-sized firms that have suffered significant revenue declines, a number which had 50% lost revenues had been bandied about, and are not publicly traded. Well, that would be a welcomed sign this time around. It goes on to say relief funds need to be delivered expeditiously. Building on the existing PPP infrastructure would be one way to quickly stand up a new loan program. The portion of the fund should also be directed toward community development financial institutions and minority depository institutions. The letter concludes that tens of millions of Americans have already lost their jobs in this pandemic. By year-end, the domino effect of lost jobs, as well as the lost services and lost products that small businesses provide, could be catastrophic. Now, interestingly, there is still $150 billion of the original PPP that's still unclaimed. Neither the House's HEROES Act passed by the House in March, or the Republican HEALS Act, which has been introduced in the Senate, include any significant funding for small businesses. So if that's going to happen, it's the big four that are meeting these days are going to have to include that. We shall see, Melody.
Yeah. I mean, I get the pain that these small businesses are going through. And I suppose letters from these people, but you know, there's always that ulterior motive that just irritates me. And but anyway, it's sad that this is happening. And I'm not quite sure where this next thing that we're going to talk about, because it's, I don't know how it's relative, but you picked it, Dave, so I'm sure it has a better ending than what I think it's going to have. But you're talking about to spend or not to spend, and you know, we did know, I saw that Fitch did lower our government's debt. Did you see that today? The rating on our debt?
No, I didn't think they lowered the debt. They just...
They didn't lower the debt. They lowered the rating.
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, Fitch did too. I saw the headline. I'll have to see if I can't find it. So I really did think that the stock market would be lower and gold would really roar today.
Fitch made a statement about the debt not being sustainable, but I thought they kept the AAA rating.
The headline didn't say it, but you know, headline, and I didn't have a chance to read it. So, but anymore, you know, there's folks that believe that politicians care about our debt. That people believe that, you know, politicians just want to spend an infinite amount of money all the time to keep voters happy. That politicians always want to give up free goodies to get reelected. I think politicians aren't, I think that's part of it, but I also believe they're hand in hand with the lobbyists. That's where the real money comes from. You know, that's who they really satisfy when they go do all their spending. It's not the taxpayer, it's the, they use the taxpayer to get elected, but the spending goes for the lobbyists and all their little programs. Go ahead, Dave.
Okay. Well, you know, it's some people think that politicians always want to give out free goodies to get reelected. Others say that's not so. The most obvious example of that is the opposition among many in Washington, and many of them happen to be Republicans, to maintaining the expanded $600 per week unemployment benefits. Now, this opinion piece argues that you can't reconcile a theory of spending that politicians will just do anything to give people money to be popular with the lapsing of a program such as this. Opponents of the added benefits may have all kinds of reasons for not wanting to renew the funding. Maybe some are hearing from small businesses who perceive the expanded unemployment benefits as an impediment to hiring or reopening of businesses. Or, in fact, if there's a finite pool of money out there, you know, the more that goes to something else, essentially, other things being equal, the less that's available for, well, what these 100 CEOs are demanding, calling for. For others, it's probably just ideological. For some, there may be a genuine concern about the deficit. In the end, it's probably a mix of all these things and more. But it's clear that even if politicians were to fully internalize the idea that spending is theoretically not constrained at all by income or deficits, like the modern monetary theorists think, there's no reason to think that would get them to spend more. Meanwhile, this Friday, as Melody mentioned. Economists expect the headline unemployment rate to come in at over 10%, which is to say the real rate will be at least closer to 20 at a minimum. That's all.
So, yeah, I know. Well, the Republicans used to be the fiscal conservative. I don't know. It's just getting to the point, like, just throw whatever you can at it just to keep it going.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
And I do think, I believe $600 a week is too much. I mean, that is more than they make on their regular jobs. I think if they get extra, it should be what they get on their normal wages. I mean, you would think that the IRS would be able to figure that one out pretty quickly. You know, it always amazes me when things like this happen, and it's like, well, you know, it would take forever to figure this out and so forth and whatnot. Then I always ask the question, well, just how far along are we with technology? We can get pretty pictures, and we can send, things, you know, to each other instantaneously, you know, just, but yet, you know, they don't have programs to where they can sequence and figure out how to do this pretty simple. You know, I don't know.
Well, yeah, the problem is partly, maybe largely, you got 50 individual state unemployment computer systems. And many of them, don't know the number or percentage, but many of them we read are, you know, using programming that, is an anachronism. I mean, things that have been around since the 80s and 90s. And so that's certainly was one of the problems with the PPP, getting it off the ground and getting checks out, was a function of these antiquity programming methods and the differences. And the other is that, you know, the federal government computers typically don't talk to individual state computers. And that's, as you said, Melody, I mean, in the 21st century, it just sort of befuddles one that we're that far behind, it seems. Now, I'm sure we've made great strides in those areas, but geez, we're seeing in a time of crisis when you should be able to turn things around pretty gosh darn quickly and accurately, that we're having challenges with both. So,
well, you
as
know,
they
when
say,
you think,
and go ahead.
When you think about these computer companies, though, they know where the money is. The money isn't with government. The money, the big companies in their military and their contracts, their space and stuff like that, that's where the big money's at. But maybe doing programs for things like what we're talking about isn't payback isn't good enough. I don't know. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. CommonSenseRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. And let's see. Again, products are getting tight. Even on the Gold Eagles, they're about a week out. But by the time your funds get here and we ship you, there's no, you know, the coins are here. I bring that up to you to let you know that things are going to get tight. And once there is a little bit of panic in these markets, you know, Katie, bar the door, there will be no product. Just warning you. We do have some 90% silver. We've just about sold out of our silver eagles. We've got the, you know, the foreign silver, Kangaroos, Krugerrands, Britannias, Phils, Philharmonics. They're beautiful. And so give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. You know, Canadian maple leaf silver, I'll lock them in for you, but they're about a 30 days out. I wouldn't wait that long, but I'd be more than happy to lock them in for you as long as you're patient. Don't call me every day to see if they've been shipped yet when I tell you up front that there's going to be a 30-day delay on them. So, but we'd be more than happy to lock them in for you. I've seen, I went to AtMax and I looked at some of the Silver Eagle prices, anywhere from 37, I mean, backdated ones. They're selling for $70 and $80. You have to be insane to buy any of that stuff. But yet I know people do because they, I got to get it before it runs out. And it's always the people who have the least amount of money to spend. They'll pay the most. And it's sad. You don't have to do that. There are other products available. They do not have to be American Silver Eagles or American Gold Eagles. Hey, if they're there, great. But silver is silver. You're going to sell it into the market to get the most money when you're ready to sell it. If you're going to need it locally, you've got 90% silver. It's not going to last forever. Things will open up. Thing, you know, so it's a temporary situation. If you can't sell it back into the market, commodities will trade. That's the beauty of gold, is the liquidity of it. That's why you buy gold, not just Gold Eagles, but gold. It's liquidity. It's almost like cash. It's probably more private than cash. But anyway, you know, we're talking about all those that are pushing for more bailouts, and, you know, the airline executives and labor unions, they're pushing for billions of dollars in additional federal aid, you know, because they're looking at more layoffs this fall. You know, we know that they're debating a new aid package. Now everybody's in there with their fingers trying to get their share. Congress did set aside $32 billion for the alien airline sector in the $2.2 trillion CARES Act back in March. But there was a condition that the recipients didn't cut jobs or pay rates through September 30th. Now, this measure intended to buy the airlines and their workers time on the hope that the demand recover. Well, you know what? I don't see the demand recovering. might have seen a little bit of an uptick from the lows and low hits in April, but I can't imagine. You had airline ticket sales last week were down 79% from the same period in 2019. Can you get that? 79%. Roughly in line with the previous week. Sales from the usually lucrative corporate segment, they were down 90%. Those CEOs, they're not traveling anywhere. They're not going anywhere.
Or if they are, they're in their private jets.
Yeah. You know, and the thing of it is, it's funny too, you know, I'm not going to go down that road. Airline labor unions have been pushing since June for an extension of the $32 billion in payroll support that would preserve sector jobs through the end of March 2021. And so, you know, it's just not clear what they're going to do yet in the next package. But the point was, everybody's fingers are in the pie. What say you, Dave?
Well, I forget the source of this, but I did see today from a source other than the one reporting this particular news that the airline analysts on Wall Street are predicting it's going to be 2024 at the earliest that airline demand gets anywhere close to its pre-pandemic levels. So that's a long, that's a lifetime away. That's two mergers and acquisitions away for some companies. So for the airline industry that's struggling, I mean, sure, everyone seems to be working, living on a day-to-day basis. The airline industry certainly is not going to be any different. Now, we know American Airlines and United together have warned more than 60,000 of their employees that their jobs are at risk when the aid term expires at the end of September. And executives at both those companies have expressed their support for their labor union's push for additional funding. Southwest Airlines apparently also talking with lawmakers, I should say their lobbyists are, and also with the White House about an extension. Southwest CEO Gary Kelly said he's also urging Washington to take other measures to encourage travel again, such as a tax break on air tickets and liability protection for businesses. Without customers and places and events to fly them to, Kelly said, we'll never punch our way out of this crisis. Now, other airlines like Alaska, Spirit, and Frontier have also warned employees about potential furloughs this fall. Again, should there be no further further funding. So, looking pretty rough out there.
Yeah, it is. And, I mean, the one thing that everybody can look forward to is free money from government until there is no more free money. So, you know, it really is amazing. It truly, truly is. In our weekly American Survival newsletter, it'll be out, fingers crossed, later today. And so what do you have in this week's newsletter, Dave?
Well, Melody, like, you know, some economists believe the threat of rising inflation is helping power gold and silver and Treasury inflation-protected securities, known as TIPS, to the strong returns with record demand this year. Investors continue to pack in even as inflation metrics like the CPI and PCE index have remained anchored low. The Fed has added about $3 trillion to its balance sheet since March, and Congress passed the $2.2 trillion CARES Act later that month. And that's led to unprecedented increases in U.S. money supply, not to mention debt, as Melody mentioned in the first segment. And these stimulus efforts have helped push stock and bond markets higher, but in recent months, particularly since the end of March, the gains of precious metals have far outpaced them. In July, as we mentioned in our Friday blog, the value of gold and silver rose by 11 and 33% respectively, with silver up 62% over the last 3 months.
And we know that the dollar has suffered its worst month in a decade in July. And, of course, you know, we've seen gold respond to that.
Yeah, it has. I mean, in the first 6 months of the year, total investment demand for gold reached a record value of more than $60 billion, even as demand for jewelry and bars and coins fell somewhat. And that's at least according to the World Gold Council in their first half report that came out last week. Global net inflows to gold ETFs reached $39.5 billion in the first half of the year, significantly above the highest level of annual inflows, the WGC noted, both in tonnage terms and in dollar value. The WGC added, to put this strength of demand into context, first half flows are also significantly higher than the multi-decade record level of central bank net purchases that were seen in 2018 and 2019. Global holdings of silver rose 10% in the first half of the year, and silver ETF holdings surpassed the previous record for a full year. That according to the Silver Institute.
You know, I'm not a fan of tips, Dave. I mean, those are the Treasury inflation protected securities because they're still paper. And, you know, if you follow government inflation numbers, we don't have any inflation, right? Wouldn't they just respond to the government's numbers?
Well, here's the point. Here's why I think makes them so unworthy of investor support, of listener support. They have been bid well lately. Yields, which we know move opposite of their prices, have fallen to historic lows on some maturities. The 10-year TIPS yield, for example, has recently dropped to roughly negative 1%. So, nevertheless, TIP funds have seen positive inflows for six straight weeks, particularly at the end of June and the 1st of July. Now, Jerome Powell said the Fed isn't even thinking about raising U.S. interest rates. You think they're not thinking about that, Melody?
Hey, Dave, are they thinking about it?
You know, I don't think they are thinking about it.
Well, although, maybe they should think about it.
The Fed is reportedly considering an overhaul of its long-term strategy of raising rates early to head off rising inflation. And that could mean it pulls back on its commitment to keep rates in check, right as inflation returns. The question is, what lurks just under the surface?
You know, as the pandemic stifles these economies around the globe, I mean, you see the Fed, you have these other central banks, they're keeping their rates low and using quantitative easing policies, you know, the same as the Fed and even the emerging countries are.
Well, in fact, Melody, it turns out that since 2019, emerging market central banks have provided more than 5,500 basis points of interest rate cuts. But in some emerging countries like India, Mexico, and Turkey, happen to be three of the largest, inflation already is rising out of the central bankers' target ranges. So policymakers are going to face a grim choice very soon, whether to continue to support economic growth by keeping rates low and risking a marked increase in inflation, or raise rates to hold inflation down, theoretically, and risk exacerbating the recession. Some might even call that lose-lose. So is inflation driving gold, silver, and tips, Melody, right now? Well, listeners will just have to read today's newsletter article to get more of our insights on that very question.
DGScoins.com, DGScoins.com. Go to the website and sign up for our weekly newsletter. You know, there's a couple of things. Lord and Taylor, they finally did file bankruptcy. There was another one who was laying off designer brands.
Yeah.
They're cutting 1,000 positions. And designer brands is moving forward with, and these are permanent layoffs. And this is the parent company of DSW and Camuno Group. So you're looking at 1,000 jobs there. Taylor and Lord and Taylor, they sought bankruptcy protection from creditors after a failed turnaround. The oldest U.S. department store filed for Chapter 11 protection in Richmond, Virginia yesterday. They were the oldest U.S. department store?
Yeah, how about that?
I did not know that. I would have thought it would have been not Penny's or Sears, but, you know.
I thought it was Hamilton, Madison, and Monroe.
Oh.
But apparently not.
Apparently not. That's interesting. So, the oldest U.S. department store. The company was founded in Manhattan by two English immigrants in 1826. Said it had about $137 million of debt obligations. And you know what, Dave? I mean, $137 million of debt obligations doesn't seem like anything in today's world, because usually they're in the multiple billions of dollars. And
yeah.
I guess Lord and Taylor's owner, pardon?
No, I guess it's relative.
Yeah.
Relative to their revenues, relative to their assets.
True. Lord & Taylor's owner, fashion startup Latote Inc., filed Chapter 11 along with the retail chain. Latote bought the rights to the company's stores, brand, and e-commerce site from Saks Fifth Avenue owner Hudson Bay for $71 million last year. That was a good investment.
Yikes.
The company, with 38 stores and 651 employees as of the filing, joins a list of department store casualties. And we've talked about these already that have already filed for bankruptcy this year. J. Crew, Neiman Marcus. So Lord & Taylor closed all of its stores just temporarily, and they reopen with no debt. But they also get to wipe out a lot of that pension and retirement accounts, too. So let's not forget about that. And I hear the music. So let's not forget about this. We'll be right back. We're heading into the last break of the program. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with Dave Allen.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I hope everyone is safe on the East Coast. If you're weathering this storm or about to weather the storm, so be safe out there. And we just had a report from Todd, his son, and he's, did he say South Carolina? Todd, did you say South Carolina or North Carolina? Well, I guess no one's talking to me, so it was one of those, but they said it wasn't that bad. So, but still be safe. There can be flooding. And a virtual, this is really interesting, Dave. Are you there, Dave?
I am here. I'll even talk to you.
I'm glad someone's listening. I think this is interesting because I don't think most people, you know, really think about how various stores and retailers can be affected in so many different ways. You know, we just think, oh, consumers aren't buying and that's it. But this is kind of interesting because you don't think about a virtual school year that's going to hurt retailers. Back to school season is the second biggest revenue generating period for the retail sector after the holidays. So a virtual school year would likely push retailers even closer to the brink. Retailers say typical shopping sprees will be smaller with students learning at home, another setback for the industry, which has seen a slew of store closures and bankruptcies we just talked about. Research from firm Global Data expects the lowest level of back-to-school spending for elementary and high school students since 2015. While spending for back-to-school college shopping would crater nearly 40% from last year. Some retailers like Carter's, which is a kid apparel company, preemptively cut its back-to-school season inventory because that event as a pressing need is not there right now. And Under Armour, they told analysts last week it doesn't know where schools are going to be opened or whether sports will even be played, which will affect back-to-school shopping demand. So it's from school, from pre-K to college, looks different everywhere for the first time ever.
Yeah, and we're seeing, you know, an emerging patchwork of policies across the nation. Certainly going to make it hard for retailers to allocate inventory and target discounts effectively across the different regions. Ravi Saligram, who's the CEO of Newell Brands, they manufacture Sharpies, Elmer's glue, and Papermate pens. He told analysts this past week, we're seeing a reluctant and hesitant back-to-school shopper given the uncertainty and lack of clarity. Many schools haven't even published their school lists outlining what students should buy. The back-to-school season alone accounts for 25% of Newell Brand's pens and marker business. Wow. Now, on the other side, electronic sales may see an uptick from virtual education. No surprise, intuitively anyway. The National Retail Federation anticipates a record-breaking back-to-school shopping season for that particular industry. That, of course, because more money being spent than ever before on computers and other electronics to better retrofit, an at-home learning environment. Although, admittedly, a ton of households across the country have already made that investment. According to a Deloitte survey of parents, high-income families expect to spend 6% more than last year on back-to-college supplies during the pandemic, while spending expectations dropped 12% for middle-income parents and 4% for low-income parents. So, Again, there's all sorts of articles out there these days about concerns and fears about how distance learning could further the gap between the haves and have-nots. This is going to be such a critical period in the education of these K-12ers, especially the younger ones, Melody. It'll be interesting to see how all these thousands of school districts across the country are going to handle it individually.
Well, you know, I think, too, that when it says that, of course, they believe that more money is going to be spent on computers and other electronics, I would think they would have already purchased those. And everybody has computers in their homes anyway. I don't know why you would go buy a new computer just because you're going to do homeschooling, unless you get a computer for each child. If you have more than one, you know, if you have a... So I don't know. What do I know? I'm just thinking. I don't know about this. You know, you have these Detroit automakers. They're kind of sounding like they're being a little more prepared this time around for a recession than they were during the great 2008 recession. But the pandemic still hobbles much of the global auto industry. General Motors, Wall Street had wanted companies to prove that they were capable of doing something since the Great Recession. That forced General Motors and then Chrysler and the government back bankruptcies back then in 2009. But despite GM and Ford Motor and Fiat Chrysler each significantly beating earnings expectations, shares of the companies were down for the week. And of course, you know, when Wall Street is generated by Fed money, nothing's going to bother it. The initial cold shoulder response had analysts who cover the automaker, especially GM, questioning what more could be done for the companies to enter Wall Street's good graces. Tesla, of several electric vehicle startups with no revenue, had recently done. You know, it's all rigged, Dave.
It is. You know. Funny, I'm laughing at this one analyst's suggestion in GM CEO Mary Barra's conference call last week. He suggested to her that she have the name change, that she should change it from GM to Altium after GM's next gen generation vehicle batteries. That struck me as funny. Another too big to fail bank analyst.
Did I forget to laugh, Dave?
You know, I thought I heard it, but you must have turned down the volume of your mic.
I must have.
Thank you for.
I was laughing too hard.
Well, another too big to fail bank analyst recommended that the automaker spin off its electric vehicle operations, thus forcing the market to recognize GM's new advanced technology. GM has reconfirmed its plans to invest $20 billion starting this year through the next five in self-driving as well as electric vehicles. And Barra, who always defends the reputation of GM, apparently didn't nix the idea of a name change. GM, which was established in 1908, she said, is going to make any changes necessary to drive shareholder value. There you go, those magical words, Melody. In any event, they're not out of the rough yet by any stretch of the imagination. The Detroit automakers, in my own humble opinion, are really see themselves behind the eight ball now. In an attempt to redesign their assembly lines to really put more emphasis on electrical vehicles and other emerging technology.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me going into, I can't remember what the name of it was, but they were coming out with an electric vehicle. GM was heading into, probably about 2 years before we went into, maybe a year before we went into 2008. And I mean, the whole thing, and I can remember talking about it, I mean, it was just designed to fail. And it was like, it was overpriced. And there were so many things wrong with it. And they spent all this billions of dollars to manufacture it. And it was a loser from the get-go. And it's like, who makes these decisions? No wonder these companies fail. It's as though they're designed to fail. They want them to fail. And it's like they're doing the same thing again. Certainly we have different circumstances today than going into 2008. And I did read an article, Dave, where people are driving older and older vehicles. They're not trading them in. I don't think they're leasing them as quickly as they did, because most of these car places are offering 0% financing. You don't have to lease a vehicle when you have 0% financing. So they're all back to their same tricks. And again, it's, you know, we haven't talked about, you know, the subprime loans that were being created in the housing market and in the car market for so long. But when you see, you know, I can't imagine with people not working and people can't make their payments that it's going to have a good outcome. So, yeah, it's, you know, it's kind of interesting, but I'm, you know, we don't need to be bailing anybody else out. Let's go on and talk about the median age of home buyers go from 31 to 73. I think that's kind of interesting. This is 47. From the National Association of Realtors, Bloomberg Finance, and DB Global Research. They show that the median age of a home buyer has increased from 31 in 1981 to 47 today. That's an increase of 52%. I mean, we all know why. We can all figure this one out. It's kind of a no-brainer, but at least they're putting it on paper now. According to the Dr. Housing Bubble blog, we are basically sacrificing the young at the expense of older Americans. How so? Just look at our politicians increasing the country's debt to a point where it will saddle our kids and their generations to come. Our tax policy has favored those that bought homes early at the expense of younger generations. Why in the world should there be government welfare for homeowners and not renters? This is like giving someone a tax break to buy Google stock over Apple stock. It's a simple preference. And this comes from a blog from this doctor. He believes that this is changing and that millennials understand and see how the game is rigged. Decades ago, home buying was tied to a time of settling down and starting a family. 47 is on the old side to start a family. But given the current structure of the market, we are favoring a rentier corporate welfare culture that penalizes work at the expense of gathered and accumulated wealth. He says there are plenty of jobs open and essential jobs that put you in the front lines of the virus, yet look at the pay.
Yeah, the massive increase in age for buying a home is also stalling out other industries that rely on this growth. Think of the towns that build out retail centers. Do we really need them anymore? Many people are now getting comfortable working from home, shopping online, and ordering takeout. Commercial real estate's getting smashed because there's less demand. So what happens? Prices and rents come down. Incomes are smashed for younger Americans, yet somehow people think real estate's going to stay inflated in price. Inflation in real estate right now is tied to all the tax breaks and welfare we create around it, according to Dr. Bubble. The interest deduction, insurance breaks, and essentially low mortgage rates. So we're seeing mega crony capitalism today, he says. The older age in home buyers is a reflection of throwing younger people under the bus. And the bills coming due and the massive strife in our system shows that older Americans are nothing like the silent generation. He claims we're living the true Taco Tuesday, baby boomer wave of Karens and Kens, and maybe in a few years, the median age of buying a home will be well into the 50s. If bankrupt companies can increase, if their stock can increase largely, if not purely on speculation, why can't housing stay inflated just a bit longer? Different perspective, Melody.
Yeah, it is, but a lot of it is, you know, it does make you wonder, and we did kind of throw the younger generation under the bus, and I remember reading an article where the younger generation don't even consider themselves adults until the age of 30.
Wow.
They're not adults.
And that's something.
That is something. I remember I was adult at 12. I wanted to be one.
I know. I couldn't wait. Hey, it looks like Todd's throwing us under the bus.
Yes, we are. We're out of time, ladies and gentlemen. Please, we'll be back tomorrow. So until then, be safe out there. Good night and God bless.
Bye-bye.
Pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.